Yes, it is the holiday music. Before she's off the show, I am sure that Dr. Deaver Schroff of MedVet Chicago is going to wonder, why did they put me here? What did they do to me? Well, good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's nice to see you this morning, and thank you for coming in so early in the morning. And that is the goal, right? To keep our pets out of the ER. But before we talk about how to do that, this is exciting. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us with any questions, but the first person who calls, we have a $25 gift certificate. Actually, you get a gift basket when you go into Barker & Meowski, a paw firm. And that's at Armitage and Sheffield in Chicago. If you have any questions about your pets, anything medical, anything veterinary-oriented. Are you a emergency room veterinarian?
I am. And right now I'm working at MedVet Chicago, mm-hmm. formerly known as Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Center.
And that's the same place that's on Armitage and Clybourne that we'll talk about later in the show that you're talking about now that's been there for a very long time.
Yes.
And the idea then was, and the idea still is, emergencies happen to pets just like they do happen to people. So let's have a place, because back in the day, you would call a veterinarian on Saturday or Sunday or Christmas Day, and maybe you had a phone number at home because this was before cell phones, you know. But, I mean, how would you reach a veterinarian? What did people do? So Dr. Shelley Rubin was instrumental in saying, you know what, we need an alternative for people. We can't be open 24/7, and created this. Now there's emergency clinics all over the country similar to this one and others we have in the Chicago area as well.
Yes, and we're open 24/7, so you can always call us with any concerns. If you're ever worried, you can always call us and we'd be able to help you.
That's kind of the whole idea, you know, is to come in anytime. But you also have specialists there. So today there are specialists in veterinary medicine, just like in human medicine. And are you a specialist in emergency room care?
Well, we do have a specialist in emergency and critical care. We have ER as our specialty, but our criticalist is, we have two criticalists that are specialists.
Specifically trained for that, as well as, you know, so dogs will come in with, who have had seizures, you know, and
sure.
Maybe then the answer is to see a neurologist down the road. Well, you have one right there, actually more than one, I believe.
We do.
Internal medicine specialist, veterinary ophthalmologist.
Surgery.
Cancer, yes. Oncology, and the list actually goes on and on and on, which is pretty incredible. I mean, this place is incredible.
It is.
And it's true when you walk into an emergency room for people that this is pretty much the same equipment, if not literally the same equipment, that if you went to the emergency room, wherever that is near where you live, it's the same standard of care. And I'm kind of smiling because there are a couple of differences. You generally don't have to wait as long, and you get more personalized care, I would argue, than you do in human medicine, which is a problem for human medicine. But it points out something positive, I think, about veterinary medicine.
It is, and we have a lot of great patient care. We also communicate with our clients very well, keeping them up to date, especially if the patients are in our hospital, we like to give them updates at least twice a day, and we're more than happy to talk to them anytime throughout the day.
And the way in which the dogs or cats are kept is because I've been back there behind the scenes, and anyone can pretty much go behind the scenes and see what really goes on unless there's surgery going on, and you can visit with your pet. Pets are brought out in rooms to people even if they have long-term stays. Which brings up an interesting question that, in fact, is similar to a text question I have. So the text question I have is, if my pet is in the ER, then how can I help? I'm not exactly sure what they mean, but here's what I was going to ask, which might be along the same lines. And I've always wondered about this, and I get questions about this a lot. If your pet is there for, let's say, 2 days, is it good to come in and visit? but if you visit, you have to leave. Or is it a, you know what I'm saying? Is that kind of a bad thing too? I don't know.
And I think it's patient dependent. Sometimes some dogs have a harder time seeing their owners and then seeing them leave. So depending on your patient, we would be able to help you decide, is it a good idea to come visit or not? Depending on how critical they are as well. Sometimes a couple days staying at our hospital for gastroenteritis or things like that, you might want to just wait and you'd be able to get your pet home soon.
Yeah. It is amazing. Are you even astounded by the bond that people have with their pets?
It's amazing. They're part of our family.
Yeah, quite literally. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200. I can't believe it, Jasmine. We're trying to give this away. We want to give this away. Oh, we have somebody? Oh, I don't understand the sign language. She is saying to me, we've already given it away. Okay, never mind. But our phone number is still the same, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for the doctor, like this one. We want to keep our pets out of the ER, of course, any day of the week. But at the holidays, you sometimes see things and you're probably thinking in the back of your head, you know, gee whiz, this could have been avoided. Tinsel is one example that comes to mind. So people decorate their trees still with tinsel, even if they have a kitten or a puppy or a cat or a dog in the house. Unless it's beyond the reach of a dog, and it can be, you know, I'd say, okay. But for cats, there isn't much that is beyond their reach. Is tinsel a real danger, or am I making too much of this?
No, tinsel is a real danger, and the dangling ornaments, our cats love to get into those. I'd recommend either keeping the tree farther away from them or trying to keep your ornaments. No tinsel at all if you have cats in the house. They love stringy objects. They love eating those things.
And it's shiny.
It is.
Yeah, that makes it even more appealing as well. You know, I don't believe that Santa should be working out. We were at, I don't remember what store it was. Yeah, I know what it was. It was Apt, ABT, up in Glenview. Our television had a problem. We turned it on one day and there was no picture. Really good sound, but no picture. So it was time for a new TV. So we went up there to get the new TV. This was just about a week ago, and it was a Sunday. And you know how they have all the TVs lined up one after another, and people were watching the Bears game. Santa was sitting there on the other side of the room. Nobody was near Santa. Santa just looked so lonely. And Santa even said to us, "Do you want to come over and talk to me?" Poor Santa was being beaten by the Bears. Everyone was paying attention to the Bears and not Santa. Also, Santa looked like Santa needed to get the Santa to gain about 80 pounds. Santa looked very malnourished. I don't know what was wrong with Santa. He wasn't eating the cookies even that they have at ABT. I know why I was bringing the Santa story up. So people leave out cookies for Santa, who generally may not need the cookies, but there's chocolate in the cookies. And if they're sugar-free cookies, there's something called xylitol, potentially yes, a sugar substitute in those cookies. Can you talk about that?
Definitely. Chocolate is a huge concern during this time of year, and baked goods also, Steve. People like to leave all of that out. We just think of the fact that the darker the chocolate, the more toxic it is, and the baking chocolate is definitely the worst. Last year, I had two kittens get into an entire tray of brownies. So think of dogs getting into chocolate, or they definitely need to be treated, but this time we had two cats that had even gotten into the brownies.
Yeah, kittens can get into just about anything. There is lots more I want to talk about, including this. There is now a dispensary for, how shall I say this? She knows what I'm about to say, I believe. For cannabis? Yes. And in Colorado, where cannabis is now legal, people are bringing it home. And unlike a prescription, which it is, it's a prescription that they bring home that comes in a little pill form, mm-hmm. and they put it in their cabinet. And even those dogs can get into. But when you leave out a cookie that's laced with cannabis, and it's a chocolate cookie, it's a double whammy because they're getting cannabis and they're getting chocolate. I want to talk about cannabis and your pets. You don't hear that every day on the radio. When we come back on WGN, this is WGN Radio, Steve Dale's Pet World, and our special guest in the studio is Dr. Divya Shroff. Did I say that right?
Divya Shroff.
That's what I said. I was just testing you. So I want to keep our pets safe over the holidays. And one thing I want to talk about are, you know, we get mistletoe and holly and all these things that are specific greatly to this time of year. Are these potentially of danger to our pets?
Yeah, there is a misconception that poinsettias are very toxic to our pets, but they can cause mild irritation to the mouth and stomach. The one that I really worry about are lilies and cats. They're so toxic, and even the pollen of lilies can cause damage to their kidneys. So I really recommend if you have cats in the house, don't even bring the lilies through the door.
How about a picture of one? That's good.
Picture of one is great.
Yeah, I think. And what are some other things that are dangerous? One thing that comes to my mind are, for a couple of reasons, those potpourri things that we light up. First of all, if we light it up and it's not a plug-in, I worry about a house fire.
Definitely.
And for people with pet birds, many owners of birds know what we're about to talk about, but some may not.
Well, definitely you want to be careful when you're lighting those things, and the fumes and all of that can definitely affect our animals. The other plants that you want to worry about in the house are also holly, mistletoe, amaryllis, and chrysanthemums, too.
Which are really a problem if the pet gets into them, you know?
Right.
So we can keep them away from our pets. We could do pretty good at that. Like if you're hanging mistletoe from... Aren't people supposed to do that? From the ceiling and then kiss under the mistletoe? That's okay if your pet can't get to it at all.
Definitely.
But if your pet can in any way, like it falls from the ceiling, you're kind of taking a chance.
Yes, and a lot of times just keeping them away from the pets or keeping them in different rooms so that they can't get to it. Cats can be very tricky. It's easy to hide things from dogs, but cats definitely can still find things to get into.
You're right about that. So how do I know? So if my pet gets into something, anything, and it could be human prescription drugs or it could be cannabis, which is something I said we'd talk about. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Is that healthy for our pets to smoke?
It is not healthy for our pets to smoke.
But they typically don't.
They don't. They get into it definitely as prescription pills or recreational. And
yes,
they are a lot more sensitive to it. So what people might consume, they definitely are more sensitive, and it does not take very much for them to have toxicity to these medications. Keeping your purses off the ground can help, making sure that they're not going to be enticed by brownies, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing. We don't think of it necessarily. I said we. I've never had this stuff. Really, I haven't. But people, this is happening in Colorado. People come home, and I worry about it happening now in Chicago since the dispensaries are opening. You know, they come home with the cookies, and if you don't know, the cannabis is inside the prescription. They are prescription cookies, and chocolate is often. So it's kind of a double whammy. And we're supposed to take one or two of these, and we may weigh, I don't know, 170 pounds or whatever, right?
Right.
Or she may weigh 120 pounds, or say she's 120 pounds and really weigh 130, but that's beside the point. And you bring the stuff home and you just leave it out, not thinking of it as a prescription, and your pet gets into it. Now it's chocolate, it's cannabis, but the pets don't stop at the one or two you're supposed to have. They may eat the whole package, so no wonder they can get really, really very sick.
Right, and they should definitely be treated if you're even suspicious that they might have gotten into any prescriptions.
So our advice is to keep the pets safe and away from the cannabis over the holidays. You never thought you'd be talking about that. So how do you know whether, okay, your pet got into something. You might not know what it is. How do you know, okay, do I call the ER or do I wait a day? How do you know?
If you have any suspicion that your pet got into something and you know the medication, a lot of times I also recommend if you have prescriptions, know exactly what it is, know the dose and the quantity, so that if something is missing, you can easily count what you had and know that how many pills they might have ingested. If you're ever in doubt, you can always call, and sometimes we even monitor them to make sure that they're not showing signs. In best case scenario is that they don't show any signs at all. But it's better safe that way.
It is always better safe than sorry. Dr. Davia Shroff, one more question for you that comes to mind last second here.
Are
you still seeing canine influenza virus, and particularly the newer one, if you will, H3N2?
We are seeing a small amount of them, but nothing like we did this spring.
Are you encouraging that people talk to their veterinarians about the vaccine?
Definitely. I think that that is recommended.
That's our only way out, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
All right, Dr. Shroff, thank you so very much for everything all of you did, by the way, this past spring and summer. I mean, it was crazy when we had the epidemic. And in my opinion, you're heroes all the time, and especially this past year. Thank you very much, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It is now time for our dramatic holiday reading. 'Twas the pet's night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, especially the mouse, because the mouse knows who's in the house. Oh, there's Fido, there's Fluffy, there's Duchess and King. On Rover, on Scruffy, with that squeaky thing. Go by the red hydrant, run past those trees. Nothing can stop you, not even the fleas. They heard a tinkling on the roof, you know how reindeer are, the prancing of each little hoof. Then down the chimney, St. Nicholas, he was greeted with a purr, a bark, and a bite on his Nicholas. He came with squeaky toys, rawhide, and liver to deliver. His eyes, oh, how they twinkled, his dimples, oh, how merry. When Rover licked his nose, it tasted like sherry. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, he gave a whistle. Not like that. And then said, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. It is 7:01 on WGN, Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, and WGNradio.com. Dave Schwann, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. I thought
you would be tearful after
I was
that.
Touched by that, but I need to do a newscast, so I'm keeping my composure.
Okay. And Mr. Schwann, he's
Merry
newscast.
Christmas.
Thank you. To you, too, and to your family. One of the nicest guys in radio. I've known you for how long? Decades.
Yeah.
Put simply.
It
yeah.
has been decades.
Never
yes.
mind that. Nice guy. And expert at what he does.